We're in Sunday school this morning. This lady has, she wants to introduce herself and tell you what happened.
Hello, my name is Adrienne Bailey. This next Sunday, I will be getting baptized.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You know how that works? Somebody invited her to come to church. Someone talked to her about the Lord. Someone encouraged her after she had an auto accident, before she had an auto accident, and she came to know Christ. It happens through you. It happens through you. And so I encourage you this morning. I can only say happy Mother's Day again. Somebody told me, a male said this morning that someone wished him a happy Mother's Day, and he said he didn't think it was a mother, and I guess he can't be, can he? This morning, here's where we're going. And I want you to bear with me. I'm going to tell you a story here in a minute. But in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 22 and verse 6, he makes clear to us the scripture that you see up on the board. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I was so thankful this morning. I heard the story about a young man who was going to stay overnight with his friends. But he came home late last night and said, I want to go to church with you tomorrow, Mom. I don't know what that does to your heart, but it does a lot to mine. There must have been some training there somewhere. And I pray that we'll all continue to get that training. It doesn't appear like we're going to want to on Wednesday nights, but I encourage you to come. We'll tell you a story this morning about this young preacher preparing to preach his very first sermon. And knowing that it was his first sermon and, well, he wanted to hit a home run with the people, he went to an old preacher and he told him his dilemma. That he really wanted to have a smashing start. So this old preacher, I have a great introduction. He says, it'll guarantee you, it'll work every time. And the old pastor says, son, this illustration is guaranteed to get the people's attention. He says, this is it. He says, I've used it for years. When you get in the pulpit, first time, he says, make this statement. Some of the best years of my life was spent in the arms of another man's wife. He says, pause a little bit, and he says, my mother. He says, now don't forget, before you go to the pulpit, he says, tell your wife what you're going to do. And he says, also remember to pause a little bit after you say, and then say, my mother. So the Sunday came, and the young man came to preach, and he walked to the pulpit with two problems. One was, he was scared to death. It was his first time in the pulpit. Second was, he had forgot to tell his wife what he was going to do. Now, you can start to put this together in your way, but here's what happened. He cleared his throat, like we do whenever we're nervous sometimes. He says, some of the greatest years of my life I spent in the arms of another man's wife. And he paused, and his mind went blank. So he said it again. He says, some of the greatest years in my life I spent in the arms of another man's wife. And again, he drew a blank. But about that time, his wife, who happened to be a very hot-tempered young lady, got up from her seat, began walking toward the pulpit, and stepped up to the platform. And the nervous young fella said it again. He says, some of the best years of my life was spent in the arms of another man's wife. And he paused for a moment and he says, and for my life, I can't remember who that woman was. I hope we never forget our mothers. We never forget the name of Mama and who she is. Mother's Day, traditionally, has been one of those days when we give back to mothers how it ought to be all the time, but it's traditionally Mother's Day that we give back. And mothers, it's a time, I guess, whenever we remember, too, the spit that we produced to wash dirty faces, the old gum that we took in our hand when they spit it out, the many noses that we wiped, and certainly the bloody knees that we kissed whenever they was healed or whenever they were bleeding. This is Mother's Day, and today, again, it's that day that perhaps it's special put aside for you. As we remember those sheets that we washed in the middle of the night, driving the kids to school after they missed the bus, and during some of those football games where we sat out in the rain to watch them play. And then there was that appreciation time whenever the child didn't believe that they could do something, and through your encouragement and your love, they got her done. All because of mom's love and mom's encouragement. It wasn't easy sometimes whenever they got mad at you and said, "I hate you." But then there's the sharing of the good times and the bad times. Perhaps their cards today that you might receive won't reflect everything, but what they're trying to say through that card is, "Thank you, Mom." And if I can say, "Thank you, Mom, for reflecting that love." I had a quote from a lady, a very famous lady that you may know, but anyway, she said something that I thought was pretty profound and probably you'll agree with. Her name is Irma Bombeck, and she wrote a quote. She said, "The easiest part of mothering is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up each day." Because you do have to show up each day. Sometimes you have to show up 24/7. Sometimes you show up all night and then all day. Perhaps you can relate to that, and I'm sure many of you mothers can. And all we can say today is thank you for that. There's many great mothers in the Bible. And I probably have in my life preached and taught about many of them, most of them maybe. But this morning I want to relate to you, and because I read a book here this short recent times that was written about a lady that raised a very prominent preacher and writer and developer of Christianity. That was John Wesley. But her name was Suzanne Wesley. And the Wesleys altogether had 17 children. John was just one of them. But Suzanne was dedicated in her life to give at least 1 hour a week to each of those 17 children so that they all, each one of them, felt special. And you know, that's what this really is mothers making those children feel special, loving them, regardless. I felt that some of the things that I gleaned from that book that I needed to share with you, and I felt so definite about it that I put them in a bulletin or in your handout this morning. And I just want to run through them real good, real quick, really. Just to say, you know, they're not bad. There are probably some good habits to get into, like eating between meals, not allowed. Like number two, as children, they are all to be in bed by 8 o'clock. Or number three, they're all required to take medicine without complaining. Number four, to subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save the child's soul. Because we know, as you are a mother are praying for that child, the Holy Spirit is going to convict them. And you've got to be there to lead them to Jesus. Teach a child the way he should pray when he can speak. Require all to be still during a family worship. I think that's a good one. And it'll carry right into the church. Number seven, give them nothing that they cry for, only what which they ask for politely. I thought that was a very good one. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented. That's how our God is, isn't he? Never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. God doesn't either. Never punish a child twice for a single offense. God doesn't either. Commend and reward good behavior. Positive motivation always works. And then he says, any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. You know, we sometimes expect more of our children than what they are capable of performing at a given time, but yet we expect more. We got to be careful that we commend them trying. And then to preserve property rights, even in the smallest matters, I thought was a good. Strictly observe all promises. Once you keep a promise, once you say something, that's what happens. It can't be something else. How can a child ever learn unless we're showing them is the whole concept. Require no daughter to work before she can read, and to teach the children to fear the Lord. At the end of the message today, God has laid it upon my heart that we'll be going through the Ten Commandments. There was a fear in the Lord, or fear of the Lord, whenever the people first heard those Ten Commandments too. So I think those are good learning tools, you know, and perhaps you can relate to, as I will, my mother this morning. You know, my mother knew me, and it was special. She was special to me, but I was, in her eyes, very special. But there's something that I knew. She was omnipresent. It seemed like she was always there whenever I didn't think she ought to be there. And I could say something else. She was omnipotent too. And my backside can attest to that. Because it was there when it was needed. And it was there because there was a reason. And I could depend upon it. My mom, like your mom, you couldn't hide anything from. They have an intricate radar system, I think, that God gives mothers. And he gives to fathers. I guess you can relate to same as I, that there was no secrets that you could keep from mom. Because mom was also omniscient. And we're thankful today for mamas. I share with you a story that I read from a Focus on the Family book that Dr. James Dobson tells. He tells about when he came home one time and Ryan, his son, who was just a small baby, and his wife was having a terrible, terrible day. Ryan had been sick that day, and he had cried almost all day, and you probably all can relate to that. But once his wife, Shirley, was changing his diaper, the telephone rang, just like it happens sometimes. She reached for the telephone, and that's exactly the time that he decided it was a good time to let that diarrhea go. You and I can all remember those days. And she cleaned up that mess as we all had to. Put on some sweet-smelling clothes. And then she took Ryan to the living room and she began to feed him. But as she put him up over her shoulder to burp as she was patting him, then he let one go, you know, the way they did. All over her and all over himself and all over the sofa. She got those things cleaned up too. And finally, when Dr. Dobson said when he came home, he said, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere. We've all been through that, haven't we? But Shirley said something to him that kind of sparked me for this message this morning. She asked him and she screamed out to him in a lot of unrest that she had been through, was all of this in my contract? I suppose if we were to take the time to think about, you could share something of those experiences this morning as well. Sometimes they were overwhelming. But as we look back at them, they were great times too. Because we had the love in our hearts to certainly clean them up and keep them where they gone, where they needed to go. Parenting, we know, is sometimes it gets to be very difficult, doesn't it? Motherhood is sometimes very difficult. But our scriptures this morning here out of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sometimes I hear, and I hear a lot of times, it seems like I just keep telling and telling and telling these kids, but they never seem to get it. You know what? They will. The scripture says, train them up, show them the right ways, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You say, well, it seems like they're still going through it. Yeah, but the fundamental principles are there, but we have to teach them, and we have to rely upon them. So I started to ponder upon this question that Mrs. Dobson asked. What if God required a contract with mothers before they were allowed to have children? What might be in that contract? What might be in that contract? And I started to ponder that, and I thought, well, you know, the first thing I believe that God would want for every mother to become a Christian, to show her faith in Jesus Christ and to believe, because that's the starting point for all Christianity, isn't it? Without salvation and the Holy Spirit coming to indwell in us and the Holy Spirit beginning to tell us and to guide us and to show us the path that we need to go, including the instruction of children, without that, we're not what we ought to be. So the first thing, I think that God will want every mother to be saved. And then certainly to follow His direction, the next thing to be baptized and to let God begin to work in their lives. But not only should they be saved, but be willing to pass along that message, the greatest message that can ever be told to a child or to anyone else. And that's about salvation. There's not a greater message. I really don't know how that we could continue as a church not telling someone and bringing them into the church. Amen. I don't understand that. I keep asking that question. Why can't we? We can get up here and we can get excited and we can get old. We can talk. But how about talking to the people out there that are destined to an eternal hell? My friends, we could talk about revival all we want to talk about it. But how about the revival in our hearts to want to go and to tell somebody, encourage somebody to hear the message, the greatest message that could ever be told, and that is about Jesus Christ. No one in the world can ever become right with God, and no one in the world is ever going to get to heaven without Jesus Christ. And if you and I aren't the ones to tell them, who's going to tell them? We can get mad and we can complain and we can talk about a lot of things and blame things and go back and forth. But what is the most important thing that we can do as Christians and as mothers to tell our children? What is the most important thing we can do as Christians is to tell someone else about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit, God, can begin to move in their lives and to share it with others. Bear with me. I'm going to lose my voice. God's going to give it back. I want you to understand that I think the next thing that God would want in that contract is to pass along all the love that you have for others. I don't know that there's a greater example of Christ in our lives than to reflect love to others. And what an important thing it is for you and I to reflect our motherly love to others. One of the most difficult things there is, I know in life, is to reflect motherly love or any kind of love to someone that's not very lovable. I understand that. You understand that. But God says in His Word to share that love. I think a mother's love is what's watched by children. That's where children learn love. They're usually with the mother more than anyone else. And they learn that love and they learn to love from the mother. And thank God for mothers, for that intricate ability that God gave you to love and to love, even whenever it's more difficult. And then I think we got to pass along the godly values. As mothers, you might ask, what kind of values am I talking about? And I'll mention a few of them. But what is the estimation that you'll pass along of obedience? You know, if there's anything that's missing in this world today, it's faithfulness to obedience as to what we are told to do, that we do that. That we move in a direction that God is moving us, and that's where we go. Not turning our back upon God, but going right for what God has wanting us to go. We either do that, my friends and mothers, we either pass along this and teach obedience to our children, or you know what we are really teaching them? We're teaching them to it's okay to bend the rules. It's okay to look for loopholes in life. It's okay for to get away with something. Whenever God is calling us to be obedient, and we've got to reflect that to our children. So I think that would be part of the contract that God would want if he developed a contract before we was able to have children. Will your children learn that obedience to God from you? He is the most important figure, most important person that anyone could ever be obedient to. Because whenever we learn to be obedient to Him, we'll be obedient to a lot of other things. It's like the scripture of Matthew 6:33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you." It's so finite but will we teach obedience to God? Will we be the ones that teaches obedience to our children about the workplace? Will they learn obedience to the law from you? Or will you pass along some of the shifty values of this world to them and say, well, that's just the way the world is? Someone has to take a stand, my friends, for the Lord Jesus Christ and His principles, or they will be lost in this world. I've heard some of the things that children have said over the years of why they don't come to church. I got to practice. I got to play ball. I've got to do this. I got to do the other thing. I got to do my homework. I got to rest. It's my day off. It's my only day off. A lot of reasons. I've heard them all. It's supposed to hurt me. No, it's not me, but it'll hurt you as a parent if you don't teach them the right things. And He says, I repeat again, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the faith that we can have. When they do things wrong, make them own up to it. And there's got to be discipline presented. You know, God disciplines us because He loves us. And we discipline our children because we love them. Not because we're hateful of them. Not because we want to hurt them. We discipline them because we love them. I have something that's bothered me for a long time, and it bothers you. If you're a Christian, you hear in the news media about the Ten Commandments being taken down from public places. We know that prayer has been taken out of the public school system, and children aren't allowed to pray there anymore. And that bothers me as much as it bothers you. But you know what bothers me even more? I may not have, and you may not have, too much control about what's going on. We did have, we gave it up, but now, at this point, I want to ask you something. How many of you pray with your children every day? I didn't say pray for them. I said, do you pray with them? When they was young, did you pray with them? Did you teach them how to pray? And now, do you pray with them? Again, I didn't say pray for them. I know a lot of you pray for your children. But I'm saying, did you pray with them? Teaching them to pray. Teaching them that if they would ask God in faith, And then teaching them to look for God's answer. Look for God's answer. So many times today I hear, well, I prayed for this and I prayed for this. How about praying expecting? Praying expecting God to respond. Those children need to see that. Whenever the prayer is answered, we need to have a prayer journal. It'd be good. But we complain about no prayer in school, but how about the prayer in homes? Teaching them to pray and to expect and to know that God will answer. When was the last time that you could be on your knees with your children or be with them? I'll tell you the other thing. We complain and we complain and we complain, and I'm part of it. Is complaining that the Ten Commandments are taken out of the schools. The Ten Commandments taken out of and judge declaring that they had to remove it from a courthouse down south. And these types of things that we read. How about the Ten Commandments? Have you ever sat down and studied them with your children? How many places in your home is the Ten Commandments listed? I mean, we complain about they're not in public places, but how many places in your home is the Ten Commandments listed? You know, in your bulletin this morning, we intentionally ran a copy of the Ten Commandments. I hope you post them in your home. I hope you teach them in your home, not just post them and say, I got them up. No, it's more to know them, to teach them to your children. Do you know where to find them in the Bible? I hope you do, and if you don't, you can find them in two places together. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 to 21. Or you can find them where we're going to show them to you this morning. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 to 17. And that's where I want to go now. Is understanding these are the laws of God. They are not superseded. They are not taken away. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, I don't come to destroy the law and the prophets, I come to fulfill them. That was His law. That was what He said. Commandment number one, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. What's He meaning? What's another God? Anything that we can put before God is putting something before Him. We should not be putting anything before God. He should be number one in the one that we communicate with. Number two, you shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you see that? The Christian in the home, the mother and the father who are Christians are probably in many times breaking something that was going to come down to the third and fourth generations of those that had forgot God, rejected God, hated God. But God is saying, don't you have any image before me, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath. And verse number the third one, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord will hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God expects us to clean up our language, and the Holy Spirit will clean us up once we're saved. I'm probably a prime example. I had a filthy mouth before I was saved, but God, in His power, through the power of His Spirit, changed me, and He'll change anyone to bring them closer to Him. And number five, He says, Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, nor your cattle, nor stranger who is within those gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth, the sea, and all in them that is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, back early in my Christianity, I can say that, you know, I was a farmer at that time, or doing part-time farming, and on a Sunday afternoon, we'd get out of church, and I just thought that I had to go home. There was hay down in the hay field, and the sun was a shining brightly, and the wind was a blowing, and it was a drying out real good. And I thought I just had to go home and bale that hay and get it in before it rained or whatever. Invariably, and Paula can attest to this, invariably, something called equipment broke down. My dad told me, he says, you know what you try to do on Sunday? It'll be taken away. He says, you try to, you know, you wait till Monday and then everything will be fine. And I guess I had to learn that and to fulfill this particular commandment. And I tried to. Number 5 says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land that your Lord thy God is giving you. Honor. You know, a lot of folks, I know that we sometimes have difficult because we can't respect mom and dads for what they may have done in lives and what they may still be doing. Well, we honor the very fact that they are father and mother and they brought us into this world. And they provided for us for a period of time. And regardless of what it is now, we honor the fact that they gave us life. And we honor them for giving us life. We are who we are. And they are who they are. But we still have to honor the fact that they are father and mother and gave life. We may not like what they do now. We may not like what they did then. But the fact is, they brought us into this world, and that we honor. Number 6 says, thou shalt not murder. A lot of you would say, well, I wouldn't murder anybody. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't do anything to ever kill anybody. You know, I want to ask you something, and I've asked this several times before. Can you murder someone spiritually? Can you throw cold water on the Spirit of God working in their lives whenever you say something that's detrimental to them? Would that be part of what he's talking about? I'm not saying it is. But could we? Can we hurt somebody so deeply that we would cause them to leave Christianity or to leave serving the Lord Jesus Christ? We've got to be careful of what we do. Next one, he says, you shall not commit adultery. Well, I guess that's plain that we are committed to one woman, one wife, and to honor her. Nothing before the marriage bed. Number 8, you shall not steal. He makes that pretty plain. And a lot of times we can say, well, it just won't hurt this one little thing that I'm going to take. Does God say anything about how valuable it is? Very plain. 4 words. Thou shalt not steal. Anything. Anytime. Anywhere. He makes it clear. You say, oh, well, it ain't going to hurt. Oh? Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We can destroy relationships. A neighbor can relate to church members, can relate to your next door neighbor, can relate to anyone that you have an acquaintance with. Do not bear false witness. In other words, don't lie to them and don't be telling lies about them. Don't be degrading to their character, their personality. These are things that ought to be taught to our children and that's going to be the next generation that's going to run this country. Do we want them running them? The way the world is, you know, our Congress, unfortunately, is trying to do that now. And I hope that you're praying for them. Some of the deceit that goes on in our government is disgraceful, but we are obligated to pray for them, my friends. We are obligated. God tells us to do that. The last one, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. What's he mean, covet? Don't wish that you had something that someone else has. You can say, well, that's very nice. I think I'd like to have something like that. But not covet what they have. Not put them down because they have, or they bought, or they whatever. Don't covet what they want. what they have? I mean, and make it our wants, what they have? No, that's not what he's saying. We don't covet it. I want to go further than these Ten Commandments. I want you to see something of how whenever Moses, first of all, God gave these Ten Commandments to Moses, but I want you to see something as I go further in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. And I'm wrapping up here. But listen to this. And it's something that you and I ought to have today. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightnings and the flashes and the sounds of the trumpet and the mountain that was smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled. They stood afar off. And then Moses said to them, "You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. You know, there's something that's missing in every person's life, and I'm not just talking to mothers or fathers, but in every person's life is the fear of the Lord. And you say, "Well, should I really fear the Lord?" I think we need to fear the Lord. I think we need to fear Him because He loves you, but He speaks to our hearts. When He speaks to us, we ought to have a fear that we don't do everything that He wants us to do, that we want to make sure we get the direction right, that we serve Him. And there ought to be a fear. I fear my God. I love Him, and He is a loving God, and there's no question about that. He's a loving God. He wants to draw us to do the right things. But I have a reverent fear for my God. Is that wrong? To have a reverent fear for my God? I trust Him. He's the number one. He's everything to me. And I trust Him. We trust Him. What He says in this word, we follow. We have a reverent fear for Him. You know, it's a question in my mind. Whenever we are told that we ought to be certain things and to stay away from certain things, and we continually do the same things and we're convicted of it, and certainly we can go and ask forgiveness and God will forgive us, but how long is too long that we just keep on shunning the grace of God and not allowing the grace of God to work in our lives? I think every preacher of the grace of God has got to have a respect and a reverence for God's law. And these, His law, we ought to be teaching. They ought to be on the walls of our homes. And let our children ask what they say and then explain them to them. How important it is to have the minds of our children learn the absolute Word of God, the words of God, and the direction from God. And let them not be watered down, my friends. Let them not be watered down, but let them be spoke in the pure reverence that God intended them to be. You know, today, we talked about revival, we talked about what we need to do. He sang about revival, and I love the song, that's one of my favorites. But you know what? Revival starts in us. I've said many times, look in that circle around you, but what I'm saying this morning is, let God penetrate your heart. Let Him lead you to others that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Why don't you be the ones that encourage them and encourage your children to bring them to God? There's nothing more important. I'll tell you what, schools are not going to teach it. We know that. And bus drivers are not going to teach it. They're not allowed to. Janitors are not going to teach it. They can't either. And coaches most likely won't either. But parents, may I tell you, we ought to all, I don't care how old you are as a parent, all of us ought to be teaching our children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren that reverent fear of the Lord, and to teach them these commandments and laws of God, and to teach them some of the things that I've shared with you this morning. If we don't teach it, who will? And yet, hell, we cannot deny the Proverbs 22:6 scripture that tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A lot there, a lot to chew on, but I hope we can chew on it. I'm thankful. I am so thankful for each one of you mothers that have reflected and taught to your children. But you know, sometimes it's being lost in grandchildren. Sometimes it's being lost in great-grandchildren. Don't stop, my friends. Don't stop until you've taken your last breath here of sharing this word. Sharing Jesus Christ. Leading them to the Lord. You don't wait on the preacher or the church or someone in the Sunday school teacher. You can do it. And next week, I'll be teaching you how and when you might do that. This morning, if there's one that's already come to the Lord, this morning, if there's one another that's not came to the Lord, I invite you to come during the invitation that we can share with you and pray with you to receive Christ. And parents, if you were spoken to this morning and God spoke to your heart, I pray that you'll come during the invitation. Get it right with God and commit your life to serving not just your children, but how about your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, or any child that you come in contact with, or any individual that you come in contact with. The time is short before our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Then it'll be too late. Can we stand and pray, please? Father God, as we come right to your very throne of grace, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your law. We pray, God, that you might move us in a mighty way in this church to keep on keeping on. That revival is not just a service, but a revival is something that goes on continually in our lives. Lead us, O Lord, to that revival. Let us have revival in our own lives of wanting to share the word with others. Father, we just praise you. And now this altar is yours, and I pray that you'll call those ones to this altar that you want here this morning to make decisions for you. And we thank you for that. As we come in the very precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lois is going to be singing, or I believe, or playing the invitation. I ask you to come now. If God's speaking to your heart, that you might come. Thank you. going to come and close us in prayer this morning, and then after he prays, if you might have a seat, and I think they have a special thing that they want to give the mothers. So, Mark, if you might close us in prayer, and then at least mamas, hold on, sit down for a moment, please.
Yeah, I want to thank Pastor Paul for allowing God to use him today to speak to me. I know he stepped on my toes, God did today, and sometimes we come here to church and we say we serve God, and but yet when we leave his church, we don't serve him like we're called to. So I think we all need to examine ourselves, and I think the mothers, wish him a happy Mother's Day today, but I think we also ought to look at God as our Father and thank him for what he's trying to show us and show him the love by obeying him. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, dear God, I want to thank you so much for this day and for allowing us to be here today. Sometimes we take it for granted, Lord, that the time you give us and the food you give us and for meeting our needs, and all you ask is that we would include you in our day and we would be obedient and show you how much we love you. I ask that you please forgive us as a church, as a body. Give us that reverent love, fear for you, Father, that we don't want to disappoint you. Please forgive us, Lord, and we ask for travel mercies for each person that leaves here, and thank you for the mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Everybody sit down except mothers. Mothers, you continue to stand. How about that? And the kids will be around with something for you.